Hello, North Church. Pastor Rodney here. I just want to say last weekend was amazing at North Church. We had special guests, Mark Green and Gary Nelson, who delivered an amazing, amazing challenge to us and vision about eradicating Bible poverty. If you didn't hear that, go and listen to it. Maybe you did. Share it with someone else because it was truly life transforming, and I believe it's going to impact the world, what was done last weekend, and also what's going to come out of that in the coming weekend. So go check it out. Specifically, I want to say last week, you guys responded with almost $47,000 worth of giving. Come on, celebrate that. That is amazing. So we took care of the book of John. We took care of the book of Ephesians. Matter of fact, this week we're adding the book of Luke to that, and we may move forward from there. And so we're still giving you an opportunity to be able to give toward eradicating Bible poverty, taking the good news of Jesus. We're specifically taking on a language group in Kenya, and there's 150,000 people who do not have the Word of God in their language there. It's a Muslim group, but we're going to take them the good news about Jesus Christ. And we're expecting that Bible translation to be done by the year 2021. So come on, let's get involved. Let's respond. $35 a verse. That's to do one verse. Some of you may do a whole chapter, which is $1,000. Ask God, pray about it, join in the fight to eliminate Bible poverty. Now today we are starting a new series called Summer. The heat is on, which is so appropriate, isn't it? And I want to look at a passage in the book of Jeremiah chapter number 17 to kind of kick us off. And it's starting with verse number 7. Listen to what it says. It says, "But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." Come on, don't you want that said of you? I hope so. So today we're going to talk about getting our roots down deep and growing in Christ. And to kick this off, we have something very special for you. We have four of our people on staff that do an amazing job. They're all in their 20s. I wanted you to hear the next generation of ministers and leaders. We've got some good ones here at North. Okay, and so to start us off is our very own J.C. Chappell, who's been with us for 10 years. He came here as a student, and after he graduated, he'd been volunteering all of those years, and then he went on part-time, and then eventually full-time. He's director of our facilities, and he's also helping and assisting with all of our student ministry. Would you get your notes out, get your Bibles ready, get your ears on as J.C. Chappell comes now to speak God's Word.
Sorry, give me a minute. It was a bigger bite than I anticipated on making. I'm sorry to have just used the mic next. It may have a little extra on it. Let's talk fruit. But I don't want to talk about apples or oranges or the tomatoes that some of you would like to throw at me since I smacked into the mic. I'm talking about the fruit of life. I'm talking about victories. I'm talking about winning. I'm talking about success. All these things that we like to have. Everybody wants to be a winner. Everybody wants to feel like they're succeeding in life. We all want to produce fruit of some shape, form, or fashion. It may not all look the same for everybody in here, but there's a universal rule to producing that fruit, and it is this. You cannot produce fruit until you first produce roots, and you cannot produce roots until you commit. Being rooted means being committed to someone, to some place, or something. Now, I started attending North Church back in 2010. I came on staff in 2012. I was a student ministry major at Oklahoma Christian, and I had these ideas about what student ministry would look like, about what students would look like, about what ministry and being a pastor would look like. I wanted to work with high schoolers. and have these deep theological and philosophical conversations and encounter these students that were super excited about Bible just like the way I was. And they would open up to me instantly with all their worldly problems, and I would give them the wise answers, and they would go and change their lives and be inspired by me and go become little tiny student pastors just like me, because that was the goal. First reality check. First small group was sixth grade boys. My own personal, partially housebroken pack of squirrel-chasing spider monkeys. This is not what I expected. In 2012, when I came on staff, I was looking for student ministry. They didn't have that position. They had facilities. Now, I came on with this idea of ministry being all about preaching and teaching, because it's what I enjoyed getting to do. And I was expecting all this time for prayer and for worship and study. And while there wasn't that much preaching and teaching, there was still plenty of time for that prayer and worship part of it. The bad news is it took place while I was moving about 350 chairs around this auditorium twice a week by myself. It's not what I expected. I wanted to be noticed. I wanted to be important. I wanted to be appreciated. I wanted to have power and influence and make an impact. And by themselves, those things aren't necessarily bad. The problem was I wanted fruit without the root. And as I just explained, that is not how this game is played. Galatians 6:9, it's one of those verses that you'll find throughout the Bible in some shape, form, or fashion. It says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." We always hear the last half of that verse. We always hear the part about producing a harvest, about the fruit. We want the fruit in our lives. We tend to look over the front half of it where it says to endure. We don't like the parts where we require patience or perseverance or commitment. But fruit requires faithfulness. And faithfulness has its beginnings. It has its roots in commitment. And commitment's scary. Because when you commit, there is no plan B. We are all in. And it means regardless of circumstances, rain, shine, sleet, good, bad, ugly, or indifferent, it means being committed regardless of what the outcome may be, whether you win, whether you lose, whether you draw. It's all in. And that's a big deal. So I started small. That group of sixth grade boys, as sorely tempted as I was to ask for another small group, I committed to staying with them. I started taking my pack of spider monkeys to Oklahoma Christian every Sunday afternoon and turning them loose for 2 hours on the campus. And we'd play for an hour and 45 minutes, and I might get 5 minutes to talk Jesus at the end of this. But at the end of 3 years, it wasn't just my now eighth grade guys. I now had the sixth, seventh, and some of the ninth grade guys attending my group. I can remember that year we had a retreat. And at the retreat, we usually have this moment where students can come and confess or receive prayer from a small group leader. And in the past, I might get one. And sure enough, this one wasn't any different. I have one come up and ask for prayer, and we pray. But I'll never forget looking up. And I had a line of young men waiting for me to pray over them. It wasn't that there wasn't any other person available for prayers. They wanted me, of everyone else in the room, to pray over them. Why? Because I was now the lead squirrel chaser. These chairs, I was probably somewhere in this part of the room, daydreaming, grumbling about having to do chairs when I should be starting a church or something like that in my own mind. And God stopped me and he goes, "If you can't commit to being faithful with chairs, why would I ever give you people?" Translation: if you cannot commit to doing the little pursuits in your marriage of saying, "I love you," before you walk out the door, you hang up the phone, why do you expect your marriage to be healthy? Students, cubs in the room, listen to me, okay? If you cannot commit to doing the chores that you were asked to do, Mom said, pick up your room. If you cannot commit to doing that, then why do you expect more freedom? Why do you expect them to trust you to go out and stay out till the wee hours of the morning? Why would you expect them to give you a car when you turn 16 if you can't commit to the little things? For some of you, if you can't commit to waiting on tables or stocking shelves or just answering the phone, why do you expect to be promoted? Why would you expect a pay raise? When I became faithful with taking care of the chairs within this room, I did not expect that God was going to give me the privilege of mentoring an ever-growing number of young men from their sixth grade year all the way through their senior year of high school. And I really didn't expect the two that I have in college. I have one that's a sophomore going to be a sophomore at OU, and one that's going to be a senior at OSU for that long. From sixth grade to that is how long I've had the privilege of mentoring him. I didn't expect for God to put a young man in my life who has faced challenges that not very many people ever have to face, who has experienced a loss that there's only a handful of people in this room that could ever relate, let alone any of us imagine what it would feel like to go through. And I was given the privilege to walk alongside him through it all and watch him grow from being this little sixth grade boy into this mighty warrior. To see this guy grow into this man after God's own heart. To grow into somebody that I look at him and say, I want to be just like you when I grow up. I didn't imagine that because I was committed to being faithful with these seats, that God was going to start giving me sons to sit in them. Fruit requires faithfulness. You cannot produce fruit until you produce roots. In order to produce roots, you must be willing to commit. Not to your plans, not to your own little kingdom, but to God's plans and God's kingdom first and foremost. Now, coming up after me is a young lady on our staff. She's a friend. She's a coworker. If it has the North Church logo on it, there's a good chance she's the one that designed it. And she knows a thing or two about committing to God's kingdom, to committing to God's community. So lock in and listen to Kasia's story.
My name is Kasia. I'm from Indonesia. I have been in Oklahoma for 6 years now. I'm staff here at church, and I'm one of the media producers here. College brought me to Oklahoma. When I graduated high school, I have never heard of Oklahoma before. It's a very different culture, but people are really nice here. I grew up in church all my life, so not having a church home feels weird. I didn't have that support system that I used to have when I was home. So one day I was just working at school in the cafeteria, and my friend asked me if I was still attending. And I said, well, not really, because I don't think my ride is going there anymore. And she's like, do you want to go start looking for churches? We went online and we Googled and we emailed these churches. North was, I think, maybe the only church that replied back, and we loved it. We want to go back the next week. And Shannon actually had reached out to three different families that live around OC. And so the next week, this family came and brought us to church, and then they took us out to lunch. Because of that, like, Sundays has become one of my favorite days. Like, I look forward to Sundays every week. Because before that, I feel like every time I come here, the countdown starts for me to, like, when is the next time I'm gonna go back to Indonesia and go home with my family. Before I was hired, I was in host team, and then I started taking pictures. I was here on Thursday nights, and I'm here on Sunday mornings. You get to know more people. The more I get plugged in, the more people I know, the more connections I make, and the more rooted and grounded I feel like I am. Being with people that loves Jesus and are growing and are wanting to grow, you can't help but grow along with him. I am in a small group. We don't live life alone. It took me a lot of years to finally found the right group. I feel like I'm a piece of paper, but when I'm in a church group, we're a book. And if you try to tear a book, it's much harder than tearing down one paper. That's why the devil likes to isolate us. I prayed about getting connected and being plugged in. And I think when you pray to God about that, you will, but you need to put the effort in. Being on staff here and being plugged in this church, we are often challenged. We always do this scripture memorization as part of our staff chapel, and we have to teach on it. I actually have to really dig deep into that verse. I'm discovering new ways to learn about the word. I would never have done that on my own. This is His word. Like, this is Jesus breathing and speaking to me right now. It was worth it. God has, you know, brought me in this place and in this season with the right people and the right group, and I've grown. So there's this guy, his name is Fred Anderson, and he has been a big part of North Church. I actually saw a testimony video of him when I first started attending North. He is an awesome college student that has been interning. I actually got to work with him a couple of times here at the office, scooping some M&Ms and jelly beans in the little bags for Mother's Day. And we also have thrown some water balloons at him. He pretty much will do anything and everything for this church. And I think he is going to be coming up next to share with you guys. Let's welcome Fred Anderson.
Hello, North Church. So what does being rooted mean to you? To me, being rooted means being in community. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. But before I get into that, I want to tell those of you who might not know me just a little bit about myself. So I've been coming to North Church for 4 years now, since my junior year of high school. And when I first started attending North Church, I was living a very different kind of life. I was not Christian. In fact, most days, I probably would have described myself as either agnostic or atheist. But one night, I was lying in bed, and I felt this deep call home. And I was in foster care from when I was 2 to 5, so for me, that's a very specific feeling. This is actually a picture of me and my sister. I was probably about 3 years old in this when we were in foster care. And so I reached out to a friend that night, and I said, hey, can I come to church with you on a Wednesday night? And so I went to a church with her that Wednesday and the next, and all those Sundays. And then on November 15th, 2015, right down here, I gave my life to Christ. And then 5 months later, on April 17th, 2016, I got baptized right here in North Church. And so I went from being atheist to being Christian to having the opportunity to stand before you today. And why? Why did I keep coming back? Well, it was because of the community that I encountered on that first Wednesday night. It was a kind of community that I had never seen before. And I wanted it. I wanted to be a part of it. And so I kept coming back so I could entrench myself in it. And it was a slow process at first. I was serving sometimes weekly, sometimes every other week, but I just didn't get the feeling that this was my church. And I felt more connected as I served more faithfully and developed more relationships with people in the church. But I don't think that it was until my freshman year of college that I started down a path to a deeper understanding of what church is really supposed to be. You know, when you read Paul's letters to the churches in Ephesus and Galatia and Rome, you get this feeling of love that he has for them. Those communities, both the community as a whole, but also the individuals there. To me, it's always read as a very deeply loving and familial bond. But if I'm being honest, and I'm in church, so I kind of have to be, I didn't quite feel that for the church. I mean, I felt it for the people that I was attending with and the people that I interacted with on a regular basis, but it wasn't really the church as a whole. And what really changed all that is that I reached out to Pastor Sampson seeking out mentorship. And he said yes, and he said, well, why don't you come to Deer Creek and serve with us? I think it'd be a really good opportunity for you to grow. And so for the last 12 or 13 months, that's where I've been. That's why some of you might not know me, because I've had the privilege of serving and attending in Deer Creek. And can I just say on behalf of that family that we are so glad to be back here in OKC, and we're ready to bring that community here and add it to the community here in OKC and grow not just the North Church family, but the kingdom of God. Are you guys ready for that? Well, that's what I want to talk to you about today. the community that I found there and how it changed the way that I view and the way that I do church. I think I can say with some ease that I was attending North Church for the first 2 or 3 years of my walk, but I wasn't being the church. And the distinction there is that if you're attending, maybe you're serving, maybe even weekly, and your roots and your individual faith might be firmly planted by the river. But as far as the community aspect, the people aspect of church goes, your roots don't go so deep like mine didn't. So Jeremiah 17 talks about trees, so let's talk about trees. There is a scientist named Suzanne Simard, and while she was researching for her doctorate, she discovered that trees actually talk to each other. Now, they don't text and Snapchat and Facebook like you and I do, but they speak. So how that happens is that the root systems in a forest are connected by fungus. And so when one tree notices a change in the environment, or it's just not getting fed like it needs to be, it'll send a signal down through its roots, through the fungus, and into the roots of another tree. And that tree will respond by sending nutrients or adjusting to the environment. And so what happens when all the trees in a forest are connected like this is that it takes a bunch of individual trees that are all healthy or unhealthy, but ultimately alone, and it turns it into a forest of trees that are equally invested in each other and their environment. And Jeremiah 17 talks about being like a tree in relation to your individual faith, in trusting in God over man, which you should absolutely do every step of the way. But you should also invest into the people of God, because kingdoms are built with just one king, but many followers, all investing in each other and their environment. And as a result, the kingdom, and the kingdom grows. So my challenge to you this week is don't just be a tree. Don't just be focused on your own individual faith. Be a forest. Invest in each other. Be the church. Be rooted. And like I said a moment ago, to me, being rooted means being in community.
Hello, North Church. My name is Natalie Velez, and I'm here to introduce to you our next speaker. His name is Christian Velez, and he is our student pastor here at North, and my husband. There's three things that he loves: Jesus, me, and his hair. I don't know about your husband, but mine always travels with his round brush and his blow dryer. Now please join me in welcoming our student pastor, Christian Velez, onto the stage.
Good morning. Well, that was my Mexican-looking wife, and she is right. I do love Jesus, love her, and my hair. I do carry hairspray, wax, a blow dryer, and a brush in my car, always. So if you need it, I got you covered. Just come to me. So I have a question for you is, have you ever started a challenge or started doing something, or you set a goal, and halfway there, you kind of like give up and quit, forgot about it? Maybe you have told your family, we're going to spend more time together as a family. And then you do it a couple of nights, and then you forget about it. Everyone is on their phone again. Or maybe you say, you know what, we're going to start you're going to start exercising, and you do it for a couple of days, and you give up, and you forgot about it. Or maybe you tell your friends, hey, we're going to all stop drinking coffee. You know, this is what I've realized about commitment. The commitment, it's better when you do it in community. Commitment, it's do it when you do it in community. Every time that I try to do something on my own, I fail. But when I have the right kind of community, the right people around me, I'm able to commit. Natalie and I got married 9 months ago, so I know everything about marriage now. So if you have any questions on what not to do in the first 9 months of marriage, come to me, because she tells me everything I'm doing wrong. Natalie and I invited family, we invited friends to our wedding, and the reason why we invite people to our wedding, it's not just for the party, It's for them to hold us accountable and be a witness to the commitment we're making with each other. When we have people around us, it's easier to stay committed. I struggle with exercising, eating healthy, meal prepping. Now, dieting is easy for me because I start a new diet every Monday. So if you're ready to start on a diet with me tomorrow, just let me know. But I always, by Wednesday, I'm done with my diet, with my challenge, if I do it by myself. When I do a challenge with friends and people that are holding me accountable, I'm able to stick with it. Right now, one of me and a guy here from the church, we're doing a challenge. I'm not going to drink any pink drinks from Starbucks or social media for 7 days. 4 days going strong. Every day, we're just holding each other accountable. When we have the people around us, it's easier to stay committed. Now, community, it's better when you serve with others. Community, it's better when you serve with others. In the beginning of June, we took our students to Guthrie for a service project. We have a couple of pictures that we're going to show you, and nobody got hurt, just in case you doubt by the security of our pictures. We're going to be looking at this picture. So we took them, and it was so much fun because we were doing it together. Our students were able to build relationships, to build community. They had so much fun. I mean, there was more pain in our students than there was in the house. Like, they were putting paint on each other. They were painting the hair of people. It was a total mess. But we have fun. We were able to build community because when we serve, it's easier to serve in community. Now, this is what Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 26. That is Jesus, if you don't know Spanish. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. When we serve, we're not serving the church. We're not serving the organization. We're not really serving people. We're serving Jesus. And look at the promise, what Jesus says, that, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. So if you want to be honored by God the Father, get involved and start serving other people. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others. Jesus, the Son of God, came to this world to serve other people. Our goal as Christians is to look like Jesus, is to bear his image, is to do the things that he did. So when you look at your life and you compare it to the life of Jesus, do you look like him? Are you serving others? Because you know what my problem is? My problem is that I want to be served. How do I know this? Well, I got married 9 months ago. My wife tells me all the time. What she doesn't understand, and I'm trying to build a platform for her to stand, for her to serve me so God can honor her and bless her life. But she's not following it. You know, a lot of times we look at our lives and we think, what can I do with my life? What can I accomplish with my life? The reality is not what we can accomplish with our lives, but what God can accomplish through our lives. Matthew 23, verse 11 says, the greatest among you must be a servant. But those who exalt themselves will be humble, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Serving requires humility. When we put other people's needs before us, we're being humble. Being rooted means being a servant. Being rooted means being a servant. Natalie and I, we came to North Church January 7th, 2018, very first Sunday of 2018. And we were looking for a place where we could be rooted, we can find community, and we can start serving together. And Natalie and I were not married. We were just 3 months into our dating relationship. I have a picture for you. I have pictures for everything today. So that's me and Natalie. That's my beautiful Mexican-looking wife opening doors with me. Now, the thing about this picture is that you know me as Christian, the student pastor. A year ago, that was Christian, the restaurant manager. Now, Natalie and I, when we started serving, for me, it's easy to be around people. But for her, it was a struggle because she's an introvert. She doesn't like being in the spotlight. She doesn't like to be seen, you know. But when I saw her stepping out of her comfort zone and being willing to do something that she wasn't comfortable with, all of a sudden, she became 10 times hotter to me. Listen, I wasn't sure if I wanted to do the Mexican-Puerto Rican thing. After I saw her stepping out there, serving and greeting people, loving on people, I was like, this is the woman I want to marry. Now, if you're single, you should be serving because you can't become 10 times hotter to someone else out there. Now, this is what I know about serving and what serving did to me. And I know this is my story, and your story is totally different. But serving opened a door for me. Well, me and Natalie and I were serving as door greeters, being part of the host team. God opened a door for me to be able to lead our student ministry here at North Church and be able to lead the next generation of leaders. And that's what God does when you're obedient and faithful and you serve. In that picture, I was on a Thursday night. How do I know that it was a Thursday night? Because that was the only service that Natalie and I could come. Because I was busy opening restaurants for the company that I was working for. And it wasn't easy for us to serve and attend on the same service. But it's all that we could do at that moment. This is what I know about serving. There's nowhere a perfect time to start serving and getting involved. You will always find an excuse why it's not the perfect time, why it doesn't fit your schedule. There will always be an excuse. So I have a challenge for you today, and I want to ask you, what's your next step? Maybe your next step is to make church, make a commitment, and show up at church and come to church with you and your family every single week. Maybe your next step is to get involved and be in a group. This is why at North Church we have many groups designed for you, because we refuse to do life alone. It's one of our values here at North Church. Maybe your next step is to get involved and start serving. Would you imagine how your life would look if you embraced that principle of serving others? A principle that we get from the Word of God, that Jesus himself model for us. How would your family look like if you start serving your family? If you start serving the kingdom of God? I believe our church will be different. Our city, our state, our nation. I believe our world will be totally different. Being rooted means being committed. Being rooted means being in community. And being rooted means being a servant. Can I pray for you? God, our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here this morning, Lord. Thank you for the gift of freedom, that we can worship your name in a country where we don't have any persecution, Lord. God, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice is challenged by your word to be committed, to be in community, and to get involved and start serving, Lord. God, thank you for allowing us being here with one another. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the North Church Podcast. We hope that you have been encouraged and empowered by the Word of God. For more information about North Church, check out our website at north.church. There you can view more messages and join us for experiences live online. You can also subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Have a great week, and remember to love God, love people, and follow Jesus.